Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello there, and welcome along to the GA Postcast with me, David Jennings. I'm joined by Aidan Taggy Fogarty and Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power, as we look ahead to the two All-Ireland semi-finals. Yes, it is Galway v Clare. Crow Park, 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then on Sunday, 3:30, it is the Munster Superpowers, Cork v Limerick. Now, lads, before we get stuck into the action, it's getting to crunch time in the Championship, and we certainly know who's been playing well so far in the Championship, so what I want to know is, who at the moment, going into the two semi-finals, will be your pick for Hurler of the Year? So before you reveal your selections for Hurler of the Year, Damien Fitzgerald from Paddy Powers, give us a nice long list of prices, maybe the first 10 or 12 in the betting for Hurler of the Year with Paddy Power.
All right, I suppose no surprise Joe Canning is favourite at 6-1. Then Dahi Burke is 8-1. Patrick Horgan 8-1 as well. Seamus Harnady 10-1. Tony Kelly 12s. Conor Cooney and John Conlon are 14s. Cathal Mannion, Conor Whelan, Padraig Mannion, and our first Limerick man in is Keane Lynch at 16s. And Dara Fitzgibbon is 16s as well.
And who's your worst loser in that market at the moment?
I think our worst loser is by far is Padraig Mannion. We've Padraig Mannion for a good bit of money, so you might think he sounds a little bit short at 16s, but that's the reason why.
Wow, okay, dokes. Aidan, who would your pick be there at the moment? I know, obviously, we've still got the serious stuff to start, but if you were to have a bet at the moment in Hurler of the Year, who would it be?
Yeah, as I said, it kind of does come down to semi-final, final stages for All-Stars and Hurler of the Year, and it depends on these next two games, really, on who's going to stand out. But I suppose I picked him out earlier on in the podcast, so I'll stick with him, and it's Dottie Burke. He's having a phenomenal year, a better year than last year, full back there for Galway. He's come up against the best of the best. You know, he's marked Walter Welsh. They went toe-to-toe. He's just in the form of his life. You know, he can give the ball to the forward, and he'll take it back off him. He'll be out in front. He can dictate the play. He's brilliant in the air. And he really is gelling that whole unit of that Galway forward line together, I think. And my Hurler of the Year will be Dottie Burke. I'm going to stick with him.
Right, Damien, what price can we get on Dottie Burke?
Dottie Burke is 8.
8, okay. Well, not much juice in that price. But still, an 8-1 winner is better than an 18-1 loser. Damien Fitzgerald, your selection for Hurler of the Year?
I think I'll pick the player who probably I think has been Hurler of the Year so far this year is John Conlon. He's at 14s now. Obviously, Clare will have to win the All-Ireland, but I think if Clare win the All-Ireland, Clare is 6s for the All-Ireland, and I think I'd rather back the John Conlon at 14s than the 6s on Clare for the All-Ireland. He's been brilliant so far this year, and he's been Clare's standout player in every game nearly.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. If Clare win the All-Ireland, like it's odds on that he will get Hurler of the Year. So I can see where you're coming from there. And just a quick selection on a player that you think will get an All-Star, maybe under the radar. Obviously, Paddy Power have got prices on this. Damien, we'll come to you first. Just one player that at the moment you think might be value in the All-Star markets.
I think Aaron Galan at 3-1. Like, I think if Limerick get to the final, he's been their main scorer all along. He's been a real threat for them. I think 3-1 is probably a little bit bigger than I would think he is, probably.
Yeah, certainly. I expected that to be shorter. Aidan, your choice for All-Star?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Cork man, Colin Spillane in cornerback. He's probably not a standout backman so far in the Championship, but he does a job for Cork. He's probably the best man marker around. You know, he marked Aaron Galan, and it's going to be set up again this weekend for it, but he marked Aaron Galan. He really upset him, got in his head, and ended up Aaron Galan getting sent off, you know. And for me, and in that Cork back line, which I have my doubts over, Colin Spillane is a standout player, and you know, I think if Cork can choose to the final, he's a good chance of getting an All-Star there at cornerback.
I'm expecting him to be a bit of a price now, Damien. What can we expect?
Well, I'm afraid not really. He's 6-4.
Okay. Well, at least he's odds against. Yeah. Not too bad.
He has been. I'd say, as Taggy said, if Cork get to the final, I think he'll probably get one.
Yeah, I thought he might be about 5-2. But there you go. There's the lad selection for Hurler of the Year and some outside and perhaps less obvious tips for All-Stars. So moving on to the big one. It is 5 o'clock at Crow Park on Saturday evening. It is Galway v Clare and what promised to be a fascinating All-Ireland semi-final. Damien Fitzgerald, can we get some prices and handicaps, please?
Yeah, Galway are favourites, unsurprisingly, at 4-11, 10-1 to draw and 11-4 on Clare. Then the handicap is 4-point handicap. Galway -4 is evens. 10-1 the handicap draw, and Clare plus 4 is evens.
Aidan Fogarty, what I want to know is, how does the 2018 Galway team compare to the 2017 Galway team?
Well, I suppose the first thing that stands out is their confidence. You know, they're after winning the All Ireland last year, and that's after giving them a huge amount of confidence. And we've seen it probably through this year, really, of how they're finishing off teams. You know, they're really putting them to the sword. And, you know, they would have got, they got caught in a Leinster final, and Kilkenny drew them 18 points each. And if that was a Galway of before, they probably would have come up short. And in the replay, they just absolutely blew Kilkenny out of the water. You know, they turned on the style there for 25 minutes is all, and absolutely shot the lights out. And if that was Galway in 2017, you'd wonder, would they have the confidence to actually take on this Kilkenny team again and get over the line? But they absolutely whitewashed them. So for me, it's actually the confidence they got from after winning the All-Ireland final is driving this Galway team onto the next level, and it's given them the hunger and the drive to actually win another one, and to probably, they're in a position of probably saying, win as much as you can, when you can, which we would have said at the time as well when we were winning. You know, they have a great opportunity, they have a great team, they're a more settled team, and they're actually playing more as a unit, I feel. You know, the six backs are always the six backs, they're playing as a unit, they're there for each other, as well as the forwards clicking really, really well. And with the forward line in Galway, they have options, as in, you know, Conor Cooney was left off the last day. They put in Johnny Glynn to mix it up a little bit against Pádraig Welsh, who did very well on Conor Cooney the last day in the air. So they put in Johnny Glynn just for the aerial battle. So even for this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if Conor Cooney even gets back in, or someone else maybe in training over the last 2 weeks put up their hand, not just for the sake of it, but to keep things kind of fresh and to keep guys on their toes. And if a lad has gone up and training, and that he puts his hand up and gets the shout in. And look, Conor Cooney could easily start this weekend again, and possibly could, because when Clare went at Cork, their full back line for pace, they actually got on top of him. So for me, Galway are getting better and better as they go.
And at the start of the championship, we saw a little bit of a different approach from Galway, and even in the league, they scored 5 goals in their first game against Offaly. And in the last couple of games, have they gone back to their kind of old kind of style, as in their old good style, obviously, because they won the All-Ireland with it last year, of just picking off points after points? Like, they've only scored 1 goal. Since they beat Offaly in the first round, they've scored no more than 1 goal in any game. 128 against Kilkenny in the replay, 18 points against Kilkenny in the Leinster final, 26 points against Dublin in round 5 of Leinster, 123 against Wexford in round 4, and 122 against Kilkenny in round 3. So maybe that approach that we've seen early on in the campaign, where they were going for goals more often than they were last year, do you think they've said to themselves now, lads, we won in Ireland, picking off points, picking off points, picking off points? Have they gone back to that approach? And is that the way we should be looking going into the game against Clare? Maybe that there won't be that many Galway goals, and we'll see more kind of points taken from distance.
Well, for sure, they're playing to their strengths. And as you said, David, they won the All-Ireland by playing that way. But I still think they're playing to what other teams are putting up against them. So, like, obviously Kilkenny kept the six backs together, tried to crowd out the forwards, and they had Conor Cooney in full forward, and they were lobbing high ball into him, and Kilkenny were winning the area battle in that area. In the replay then, they put in Johnny Glynn, a big tall man, and so they hit direct ball in, but they were more concerned with maybe getting the breaks and tapping on a few pints and keeping the scoreboard ticking over. Because to be fair, like Cottle Mannion out wing forward, Joe Canning, Joseph Cooney, all these guys are great pint takers. Even Dahi Burke further out the field, Aidan Hart, Pádraig Mannion, all these guys can take long range scores. So instead of maybe, and it's a mental thing, if you say, right, we need to get a goal, that's the time that you're never going to get a goal. So I think just play as Galway always play, and the goals will come eventually.
Very interesting. Damien, where has the money been going in this game in the last couple of days?
Money has all been for Galway, really. They've been very popular. We put them up at 4-9, and they've been backed into 4-11. So, like, people don't really want to be on Clare at all. We'll probably see a bit more on Clare for the match towards the weekend, but so far it's all been on Galway.
And do you think the money is right?
I think, like, Galway are definitely the most likely winners. I think I'd give Clare a chance, though. I think, like, Clare will give Galway a little bit of a different test than what they've got last year winning the All-Ireland, and maybe what they've got so far this year. They're just they've a bit more pace, and they've a bit more danger in the full forward line. So I would give Clare a chance, and I think if Clare are to win, they will need to get goals. They'll need to get, like, two or three goals probably to win, because Galway do get so many points. But I think it's possible. At 11-4, I think, yeah, if I was having a free bet in the game, I think that price is a little bit big on Clare.
Yeah, I don't. I think you're completely wrong, to be honest with you now. Well, it's just when you look at this game, like you're saying about Clare, and I thought Aidan made a good point, and Galway are just doing enough to get by in each of their games. And like, when you split up 4-9 Galway, I kind of half expect it to be shorter. Are they not at the moment, are they not basically as superior as Dublin are in the football, no?
I don't think. I think Galway are a lot more beatable than Dublin, to me.
Why?
Anyway, just my opinion. I don't think there's as big a gap between them and the rest of the teams. Like, if you look in the All-Ireland quarterfinals, it kind of showed the Munster form is stronger than the Leinster form. So, this is the first team Galway have maybe come up. They only drew with Kilkenny as well. I know they didn't play well on the day, but it is a draw, and I don't think that Kilkenny team, with apologies, Taggy, I don't think they're great. Like, so that, I think, like, Clare, Limerick, Cork, I think they're all probably about as good, if not better, than that Kilkenny team. So that'll give them hope going forward. Like, I don't think Galway are unbeatable at all.
I don't know what you're apologising to Aidan Fogarty for saying that Kilkenny are no good. He told us they were useless weeks ago.
Well, you were back in Wexford, David, now a couple of weeks ago.
Look, I get plenty wrong. Don't worry. Don't worry. Looking at the match prices, Aidan, Galway 4-11, Clare 11-4, 4-point handicap. Where would your money be going in this?
I'd be back in Galway. I think they're a step ahead of everyone, and I suppose looking at the Clare Wexford game, I'm not looking too much into it, but that was a drab affair, and I think Clare needs to be nearly coming from behind to kind of get their tails up, maybe 3 points down and chasing the game, and then they'll go for it rather than being 3 points up and trying to hold on to a lead. That's when they kind of falter, and I suppose their inability to kind of stop other teams' purple patches. Like, Galway are going to get a purple patch on Saturday, and it depends how much they're going to score and how much damage limitation that's going to take, and can Clare actually recover from that. And from what I've seen so far, not a whole lot from Clare to the point of view to actually stemming that tide, you know. And they're allowing the big team, they're allowing the team stay in the game. Even when they're ahead, they're allowing them stay in the game and give them that sniff of confidence. Even the Wexford game, if Wexford had their shooting boots on, they could have easily won that game. You know, and they weren't at their best either. So I think Galway, if they turn on their shooting boots, I think -4 on the handicap would be my bet on that game anyway.
Yeah, I have to thoroughly agree with you there. I think Galway could win this by 7 or more. I presume you're going to be on the other side, Damien.
Yeah, I think Galway are obviously the more likely team to win, but I think the 11-4 looks a bit big to me, so I'd probably chance a few pound on Clare at the prices.
Okay, so 11-4 Clare for Damien Fitzgerald, but myself and Aidan Fogarty are fancying Galway -4 at 10-11 with Paddy Power. Now, some selections for man of the match and first goal scorer. Aidan, we come to you first.
Yeah, I'm going for man of the match. I'm going to go for David Burke, middle of the field. I think he's their linchman, and the way this game is going to go, it's going to be around the half-back midfield, half-forward lines. And really, for Galway, they always look for David Burke. If you look at the way they play, Doughty Burke talks to Grove McInerney. McInerney talks to David Burke to get on the ball, and then he launches the ball, whether it be into the corners or into the full forward line. So I think he's a big player for Galway, and the way Clare play, it's going to be kind of a running game with a lot of space, and if David Burke is on a lot of ball, he could be easily man of the match.
Okay, so David Burke for man of the match, and at the moment David Burke is 16-1 with Paddy Power. And first goal scorer?
First goal scorer going for Conor Whelan. You know, it's probably an obvious choice, but I think Galway, the way they're playing, they're going to target the full forward line because they're bigger men. So, you know, a breaking ball easily for Conor Whelan could end up in the back of the net, so I'm going to go with him.
So 7-1 Conor Whelan for first goal scorer with Paddy Power. Damien Fitzgerald, your man of the match and first goal scorer selections.
Yeah, I'll go on the other side since I've taken Clare. I'll go 9-1 Shane O'Donnell for first goal scorer. He looked back to form in the Wexford game, and he's always a goal threat. He kind of buzzes around, and I'm not sure the Galway cornerbacks will like marking him. So I think at 9-1, Shane.
And you know why he was so good in that Wexford game, don't you?
I do.
You know, on this very podcast, I said to Aidan Fogarty, and my exact quote was, "Has Shane O'Donnell not been shite this year?" And what does he do? He comes out and he lords it.
Well, I did say he needs to score a couple of points and then go for goals. So maybe this is the weekend for his goals.
So Shane O'Donnell, if you're listening, and as soon as you played so good last year, I still think you're shite. So there you go. That's a bit of motivation for you. I don't actually think that. I think he's a class act, but we'll give him a little bit of motivation. So what price is Shane O'Donnell, Damien?
Nines for goal scorer, and for man the match, I'll go Tony Kelly at 11s. Like, I think it's just, if Clare are going to win, they're going to need Tony Kelly to have a great game. They're going to need him to get like 5 or 6 points in play. So I think 11-1. Yeah, I think that's a big price. I think if Clare win, he's definitely going to be one of the two, main two or three anyway.
Absolutely. Huge talent. That is Galway v Clare, 5 o'clock Saturday at Croke Park. Not to be missed, live on RT and Sky Sports. So you've got plenty to choose from there. So now it's time to take a quick break, and we will come back with the second of the All-Ireland Hurling Semi-Finals.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the GAA Postcast with me, David Jennings, Aidan Taggy Fogarty, and Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. It's time to look at Sunday's. What a game we have in store. Sunday's appetising All-Ireland semi-final between Cork and Limerick. The two Munster superpowers clashing at 3:30 at Croke Park on Sunday, live on RT and Sky Sports. Damien Fitzgerald, can we get some prices and handicaps?
Yeah, our prices are Cork very slight favourites at 10 to 11, the draw at 9 to 1, and Limerick at 11 to 10. Handicap betting is Cork minus 1 at 6 to 5, handicap draw at 10 to 1, and Limerick plus 1 at 4 to 5.
This is fascinating because everybody I talked about this game has an opinion, but it is completely 50-50. I was in the house last night talking to my dad. He fancies Cork. Me cousin fancies Limerick. We're in the office here earlier. Michael Mulvihill is a huge Limerick fan. He fancies Limerick. Another lad fancies Cork. And I have a feeling this panel, just like a Galway against Clare, I think it's going to be split down the middle. But time will tell. Damien, we're going to come to you first. First of all, where has the money been this week?
It's been a little bit more for Limerick. It is fairly 50-50, as you were saying. Everyone seems to have a slightly different opinion on this. But it's a little bit more for Limerick, but nothing too much. I'd say the prices are fairly solid. I don't think they'll be changing too much.
Yeah, I think I often say this about a game like this, but I think who you fancy this game will probably reflect your personality, because I think the chancers and the gamblers and the ones who kind of will take a chance, they'll fancy Limerick. They'll be like, oh, it's a young team, they're coming through, and you know, they could be something special. Whereas the accountants or the people with a 9-to-5 office job, I think they'll be fancying Cork, because Cork have been there, they've done it, they're the Munster champions, and they are the rock solid team. But you know deep down that Limerick could be that little bit special, but you want to go with the definites, you want to be sure, and you know that Cork are going to perform. So are you a gambling man or are you an accountant, Aidan Fogarty?
Well, going on that, I suppose I'm a bit of a gambling man, really. And yeah,
so it's Limerick for you.
I like Limerick, yeah. I just look, it's a mouth-watering tie. It's going to be so close. But just going on the last day, the way they got over Kilkenny, you know, Richie Hogan getting that goal and they turning on the lights then and scoring 5 of the last 6 points. Like, that for me, that was my doubt about Limerick. Would they have the bottle to actually take on the game with scruff and neck when the bolts were down? And they really did, and they had that belief and that power in the forward line.
Hold on a second. What about Cork in the Munster final? The game was over, and they managed to crawl back from the grave.
Well, like,
that was some turnaround.
This is why it's mouth-watering tie, and this is why it's 50-50. Like, on the Cork side, I think they have the experience. They're Munster champions 2 years in a row. This time last year, they're in the very same position. But I just think Limerick, I suppose you said a team might reflect your personality. I think Limerick have a bit more work rate. I think Cork can shoot the lights out. They have 6 of the best forwards in Ireland, and they can shoot the lights out. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a shootout. But I think as a team, Cork are lacking work rate. And I suppose I was giving out about the Cork full back line, and I was saying that they're there for the taking. And I think they're there for the taking because of the work rate coming from the forwards off the ball. On the ball, they're untouchable. Off the ball, the work rate needs to be harder and needs to be tougher, especially this time of year, not to give good ball into their full forward line. And I think that's where we're going to fall down.
And what do we make of John Myler? How is he viewed in hurling circles? Obviously, you know, he's come in there, and it wasn't an easy job to come into, because usually a manager is coming in because a manager is left under bad circumstances. They've had a bad year and things have gone wrong. But John Myler came in there, and basically Cork were Munster champions, and you know, it wasn't an easy job to take on, but I think he's done a terrific job.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's actually been an easy transition. I was expecting Cork to maybe go back for a year or two, and I trained under John Myler in Cork IT, and he's a very likable man. And I think with the younger kind of players that he has, the players tend to like him. I remember in college, like, we used to have a bit of crack with him. He used to be kind of nearly one of the players kind of thing. Now, I know,
one of the boys. And
one of the boys, yeah, exactly, yeah. And I know that's grand for IT hurling and stuff, but I think with a young Cork team at this, they're kind of buying into him. And by the sounds of his interviews with John Myler, he's allowing things to flow, and he's allowing the players kind of develop. Like, John Myler's around a long time. He would be a small bit old school, but he's developing with the new tactics as well. Like he said, like, there's no point in going into a dressing room and beating the hurl off a table. Them days are gone. Like, it's more about possession and stats and all this kind of thing. So I think he's going with the role.
I liked
well.
One of them interviews, he was telling us how he went and seen a lot of professional, obviously his son is a professional soccer player, but he went to a lot of clubs in England and seen the way, you know, professional soccer teams in the Premier League or the Championship, what they were doing, you know, behind the scenes. And it seems as though he's, you know, we all view him as maybe a little bit old school because he's been around the block so long, but I think he's changed a lot of his philosophies, and it seems to be reflected in the way Cork are playing.
Exactly, and you said it, you put the nail on the head. He's not afraid to learn. Like, he's moving with the times. Like, maybe we're thinking that all these old school guys come in and they're stuck in their ways, and this is how it's done, and this is how I done it, and that's it. But John Myler, the fact that he's going around to look at all these other ways of doing things, he's actually grown with the times, and he's not afraid to learn, which is a great attribute to anyone. You know, anyone that keeps succeeding keeps learning along the way as well. So it's a fair tribute to the man that he's after coming in to a team that were probably, maybe people are thinking they're on a slide, and now they're back into it and an Ireland semi-final, having not lost one game in the Munster Championship. So you have to give credit to the man.
Damien Fitzgerald, we want to find out your personality now. Are you a chancer? Are you going to tip Limerick? Are you a gambling man? Or are you the 9-to-5, Monday to Friday accountant, and you're going to tip Cork?
Well, I think I might have a bit of a split personality because I keep changing my mind at this match.
Yeah, you're bipolar.
Yeah, I think at the moment I'd probably just about go for Limerick.
Like, what about tomorrow?
Well, you'll have to ask me again tomorrow. But, like, in fairness, like, Cork have done nothing wrong this year, and it is kind of, you would expect them, if you're just looking at the results through the year, maybe to be a bit shorter for this match. Considering they've gone unbeaten through Munster, won the Munster final very impressively, you'd think maybe they should be a little bit shorter. But, like, I think there is something about this Limerick team that just looks, it looks like the way they won the game against Kilkenny, like, it just looks like they have something that a Limerick team hasn't had in a long time. And they're very solid all the way through. Like, they don't really have a weak point that I would think. And I think where they might just win this, and why I might just give them the slight advantage, is their subs. Their subs against Kilkenny, Peter Casey and Shane Dowling, made very big contributions when they came in. And I think they maybe have a little bit more off the bench than Cork do. So if it's in the melting pot with about 10 minutes to go, I think Limerick might just get over the line.
Yeah, Shane Dowling is a huge option to have, isn't he? Because he does change a game when he's come. His, you know, his physical strength and power, and he does give Limerick an extra dimension when he comes on, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he's a very smart hurler, Shane Dowling, as well. Like, he knows where to stand, and he knows where to take up positions, and he's well able to give a player a ball as well. I think it kind of suits him as well coming in off the bench, because the pace has kind of dropped a little bit, and he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's a great hurler. So when he comes in at that point in the match, the pace has dropped, he can use his skill and he can just get Limerick over the line. So I think that might, it happened against Kilkenny, and I think it might be the case again this weekend.
Like, Paddy Power have Cork's slight favourites at 10-11, Limerick 11-10. Would you be arguing that Limerick should be favourites?
I don't think you can really argue Limerick should be favourites. I think, like, you could probably argue Cork should be a little bit shorter, considering they went unbeaten through Munster. They won the Munster final very impressively. Yeah, like, I think Cork are deserved favourites, like, but it is a 50-50 game, as everyone is saying, but
we'll, and tell me this, if myself and Aidan were a spy on the wall or a fly on the wall, when you were discussing the prices of this game, when the betting opened up, and yourself and Paddy Ahern, your colleague and Paddy Power, are chatting about this game, were you agreement with one another with Limerick, or was Paddy in the Cork camp?
Yeah, Paddy was in the Cork camp. Well, he was a bit more in the Cork camp than I was. So yeah,
see, Paddy is getting married now. He's saving a few quid, and he's
that's it,
he's living his life properly. He's not a chancer tipping Limerick. So to sum up, lads, who wins and by how much? So, Aidan, we'll come to you first.
Yeah, I'm going with a Limerick win. I think they win by about 2 to 3 points in the end. He made a good point about the subs coming off the bench. I think the small little step of stones along the year for Limerick, you know, beating Galway and Salt Hill, drawn against Cork with 14 men, Aaron Glammy sent off, and recovering after Richie Hogan's goal. These are small little stepping stones that lead to the big time. And I think all over the field, Limerick have leaders. You know, they have more of a spread. If you take Harnedy and Horgan out of Cork, you'd wonder who's going to do the scoring. Like, Harnedy has scored 3-14 from play. Like, that's sensational for any man to do that. So if you take them two guys out of it, who's going to step up for Cork? But on the other hand, like, if you have Aaron Gillan and maybe Graham McCarty not performing, you have Tom Hayes, Grohl Hegarty. So I think they have more of a spread all over the field. And I think their work rate is a small bit better than Cork, and their backs are better. So on that front, I'm going Limerick by 2 or 3 points.
Okay, Limerick by 2 or 3 for Aidan Fogarty. For Damien Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. I think Limerick will just get over the line. Anyway, like I said, if you ask me tomorrow, I might have a different answer. But I think one bet I do like in this game is Cork under 1.5 goals at 4-5. Cork haven't really scored many goals all through the championship, and Limerick haven't really conceded a lot either. So I think that's a decent bet.
Yeah, no, I certainly see where you're coming from there. But Cork, am I right in saying Cork scored a goal in every one of their games, I think?
They scored one goal in most of their games. They haven't scored two, and I think one game is all they scored two in, maybe.
Okay, interesting stuff. That is the lads' selections on Cork v Limerick. And first goal scorer and man of the match. Aidan, we come to you first.
Yeah, my man of the match, I'm going to go for Keane Lynch. He had a super game against Cork the last day, and it's kind of a game where it's going to be open and there's going to be plenty of space up in Croke Park. And I think it's made for Keane Lynch. He was poorish enough against Kilkenny the last day, so I think he's going to have a bee in his bonnet and want to perform against Cork. And my first goal scorer, I'm going to go for Graham McCahy. I think he's 8-1 there in the corner. I was going to go for Seamus Flanagan, but I don't even know if he's going to even start, you know, with the form Shane Dowling is in, or even Peter Casey. But I think Graham McCahy is a good choice for Limerick for first goal.
Some prices on those, Damien?
Keane Lynch is 12s and Graham Mulcahy is 8.
And your own selection?
For first goal, I like Garrod Hegarty. He got a very good chance last day. Owen Murphy brought off a brilliant save. I think at 12s, I think he's a decent price. And I think he does, if he gets up ahead of steam, he tends to head straight for goal and have a shot. And I think Cork might just have trouble dealing with him physically as well. I'm not sure they have anyone that's going to be physically capable of marking him.
Okay, what price is he?
He's 12s for first goal scorer. And I think he's 22s for man of the match as well. And I just think I can't really see anyone on the Cork team who's going to be really have the power and pace and strength to mark him. So I think he could have a really big game.
Okay, well, I'm going to show my sensible side here and tip Cork. I think Cork are going... I think they should be shorter than 10 to 11, so I'm going to tip Cork, and I'd even go as far as tipping them -1 at 6 to 5 with Paddy Power. So before I let you go, lads, in a word, we're going into the semi-finals. We've only got 2 weekends left in the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. In a word, who lifts to Liam McCarthy? Aidan Fogarty?
Galway.
Damien Fitzgerald?
Limerick.
David Jennings? Galway. So 2 votes to Galway and 1 to Limerick. So that's it for this weekend show. We've got the 2 All-Ireland semi-finals. Don't forget to join us next week, where we'll be looking ahead to the last round of the Super 8s in the football, and it's going to be live from Galway with Joe Sheridan and Paddy Ahern. Yeah, the two boys will be severely hungover, but as we know, the truth always comes out when you're drunk. So that will be Joe Sheridan, Paddy Ahern and myself live from Galway looking ahead to the last round of the Super 8s in the football. My thanks to Aidan Taggy Fogarty, to Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. I've been David Jennings. And don't forget, if you enjoyed this show, which I hope you did, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform you are listening to us on.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.